And also this eighth session on the parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to the Q&A that we did not answer. But first, let's go to the one that we have answered, but we didn't really give you too much time to ask questions, right? About lying, right? So we know one of the commandments that we should not lie, right? We should not lie. But in the Bible, it shows us two occasions that people lie, but God commends them for their lying. First, because they lie to the evildoers, right? So evildoers, not our parents, not our siblings and things like that, but rather a person or people who want to destroy your loved one. Right? Destroy your loved one. So because of this, we lie. That's the only occasion that the Bible tells us we could lie, right? And in that occasion. But beside that, we should not lie at all. Okay? Just like testing God. We should never ever test God except with one thing. That is with our tithes. In other words, the more we give God, God can even give us even more. Right? So in other words, if you want God to bless you even more, give God more. Right? So that's what it's saying by testing Him. Okay? So any question, any thought pertaining to that? Anything else? Any question? Ruth, you have something, sister? No? Okay. Anything? Okay. If not, let's go to the next one. Hopefully everybody understand that. So in our world, really, you must try your best not to lie. Some people are compulsive liar, and that's kind of people on the end day, they cannot enter the heavenly kingdom, right? We should not be like that. Okay, this is the question. I'm only answering the question I'm supposed to answer, right? So the next one. How come some people go through more trials/difficulties than other people? Does God want everyone to grow spiritually and be perfect? First, the first question when it comes to trial and tribulation or difficulties. If you're going through difficulties, what is the first question that we should ask? Can you give me a name, please? Daniel. Yes, why am I going through this trial, right? We say, why? In the sense that when you say why, then what kind of answer do you want to get? Why? When you say why, what do you want to get answer from God? Okay. But most of the time, why do you and I suffer or go through difficulties? Why? Because we are so holy, and that's why we go through so much suffering? What is the number one reason why you and I go through suffering? What's the number one reason? Yes, because of our sin. First, because of our sin. Right? And second, why do some people suffer? Right? Give me another name, please. Ruth. Why? Right? First, most of the time we suffer because of our sin. And then other people suffer because of what? Second reason. What's that? Okay, but why are they suffering? Yes, even we commit sin, when we suffer, God also refining our faith, right? But why? Yes, all those are the reasons. Even when we sin, God chastises, also make us more complete, refine us, right? But why do people suffer? In a sense that, when we said, why do we go through trial and tribulation? First, right, the first, because of our sin, that's why sometimes we suffer, right? Then second is what? Second reason why people suffer. What's that? I'm sorry? If you're clumsy. Okay, if you're clumsy. Yeah, a lot of clumsy people, you suffer a lot, right? Because my adopted mother is very clumsy, right? Every time she does stuff, she always hurt herself. Always hurting herself. Even she's walking, she smashed her toes someplace, right? So she suffers because she's clumsy, right? But according to the Bible, right? Did anybody clumsy in the Bible hurt themselves? I don't know. But yeah, maybe somebody, right? Yeah. Now what? According to the Bible, right? Yeah, Eli is just fat. Right? What's that? Yeah, because he was too fat. Yeah, that's why, right? Yeah. Yeah, he should have said more, but he can't help, he's too heavy, you know. No, but actually, if you look at Priest Eli, right, the reason he fell off his chair actually because he's always sitting in his chair. But as a priest, right, you got a goal, right? And especially his son's doing evil things, right? But his position is always sitting on a chair, and then he died in his chair, right? Form backward, right? That's another story, but yeah. So what's some other reason in the Bible people suffer? Okay, Job. Why did Job suffer? Huh? Okay, now remember, before, did Job suffer because of his sin? No, because of what? Huh? Okay, because of Satan, but... Okay, maybe I'm not asking the right question. Let me get my head straight again. Okay, Job, why did he suffer? Right? I'm asking the same question, but maybe different, using a different tone of voice, right? Huh? Yes, because he was a righteous person, upright person, right? Shun evil and fear God. That's why he suffered. Do you understand, right? So some of us, the reason we suffer because we want to be righteous, right? For example, right, you go out with your buddies, right, and they're drinking and smoking, right? And they tell you, yeah, smoke and drink, right? And if you don't smoke and drink, I'm no longer your friends, right? Then you feel this suffering, right? Why? Because you don't smoke and drink, right? Because you don't want to smoke and drink, right? So maybe, actually, at your age, you have a lot of peer pressure, right? Maybe sometimes your friends want you to be cool. You have to do a certain things, right? Maybe by your age, right, you don't have a girlfriend. No, I mean, you're not cool, right? You're not cool, right? And you suffer, right? Because maybe people make fun of you, right? I remember one brother, he's already out of college and his work. So one time he went to a trip with a bunch of his buddies. So they all went out to nudie bars and stuff like that, right? And they ask him, why don't you go with us? You're single, right? And he just said, no, I'm going to stay in, right? And they ask him, are you gay? He said, you must be gay, right? They say that to him, you must be gay, right? That's why you don't want to go out, right? So because of that, he felt so bad, right? Why? Because his buddy thinks he's gay now, right? His co-worker thinks he's gay now, right? But meanwhile, he tried to be righteous in the eyes of God, right? Not to go do such things like that, right? So now we also can suffer for our righteousness. Our Lord Jesus Christ too, right? Actually, our Lord Jesus Christ suffered because of his righteousness, also because of you and I. Sometimes we suffer because of other people, right? For me, quite often, the reason why my wife suffers is because of me. Really? Why? Because quite often, if I do something wrong, if God can chastise me, right, and do many things, and sometimes, for me, maybe my wife is thick, right? I go through a lot of suffering, sometimes I don't see it. But if my wife goes through suffering, the minute she goes through suffering, I feel so bad inside, right? Do you understand what I'm saying, right? So my wife's suffering and trying tribulation hurt me so much more than myself. So God knows this, right? So when something going on with my wife, right, her health or whatever it is, then I realize I must reflect on myself. Right? That's how God trained me, right? So of course, because she's my wife, God also trained her, right? So actually the question is that, how come some people go through more trial or difficulties than others? First, when we go to trial and tribulation, we must reflect. Why am I going through? Is it because of our sin? Because of our sin. Is it for the righteousness sake for our Lord Jesus Christ? But most of the time because of our sin, and that's not good, right? But another reason, because we just put things upon ourselves. For example, for me, I love pets, right? Really, I love pets. I like dogs. I like fish and that kind of stuff. So my wife told me, Vudi, don't get a fish tank. Because you travel so much every time. If you get a fish tank, I'm not going to take care of it, right? So sure enough, I went to get a fish tank, right? So when I got a fish tank, got some koi fish and stuff like that, I put in there, right? Then every time I travel, I suffer so much. Did my wife feed my fish, right? Because my wife, she told me, right, she's not going to take care of the fish. I'm always thinking, because when I live in Boston, I dig a pond, right? Like 15 by 17, things like that. So in the wintertime, every night, I would go and make a hole, right? So the fish can breathe, right? So you get some oxygen. So when I went to TTP, I went back home, all my fish become icicle. Why? Because my wife said, Rudy, I'm not going to be crazy like you, go out there at nighttime, 10 below zero to make holes in your pond, right? And she always tell me this all the time, because, you know, she's not a pet person, right? She's not a pet person, right? So the same thing with my fish, right? When I get this like 60 or 70 gallon fish tank, right? And I have it, and one time my wife called me, Rudy, your fish commit suicide. I was like, what do you mean my fish commit suicide? She's like, one of the fish, because she fed the fish, she forgot to leave the lid closed, right? You know the lid? And the fish just jumped out, and then in the morning, he's dead. Oh. So much suffering for me, right? Really, right? And so, because of this, and then for me, if I didn't get the fish tank, I wouldn't suffer, right? I wouldn't suffer, right? Really, because I had my dog, what, for 14 years now, right? Really, you guys, if you love animals and stuff, don't get pets, really. Because of your love for them, really, because I had to put my dog asleep maybe 3 months ago, right? When I put her to sleep, I cried more than I cried for both my father pass away. Really? Actually, my father's, I know I'm going to see him in heaven, you understand? So I don't cry as much. But my dog, I don't think I'm going to see her again, you know? And then when I put her to sleep, I was there, look at her eyes, and she looked at me and just said, no. Oh, it's so much suffering, right? So when I put upon myself, you understand, I went out to get the dog, right? But the thing is, that kind of suffering actually is natural, right? All of us, right? Okay? It's like this. And everything else too, really, right? I know a brother in Northern California, right? Quick story. I went to his house is really nice looking, right? He's seen the whole Bay Area, right? At nighttime, the Bay is all lit up, and from his house, it's so beautiful. And he decided, I want a pond. Because with the pond stuff, I'm sure it's really, really nice, right? And of course, he live up on a hill, so for the truck to go up there and dig these nets, it'll cost him about $15,000 to dig and make hole and make a pond, right? Then he put some beautiful koi fish there, right? He says, very nice. Put koi fish there. Then all of a sudden, a couple of days later, he came out, all his koi fish was gone. Then he realized all the raccoon and stuff coming, take all his koi fish, right? Then after that, what did he do? And then he feel like, oh, man. So he put more fish in there. He could put nets, right? Then every time he look outside his house, he's like, that net is so ugly looking, right? Because the pond is quite big, right? So he put a huge net there. So ugly looking, right? Then every time this leaf fallen, and it's just right on the net. Right? It's so ugly looking. Those, he said, okay, I'm going to get rid of my fish. I'm going to get rid of my net. So he get rid of his fish. So what happened when you get rid of your fish when you have a pond? Huh? What? 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 You have a jacuzzi. No, you have, you know, it's mosquito world. You understand? Mosquito lay eggs because if you don't have fish and stuff to eat, the mosquito eggs and stuff like that, right? So his pond was full of mosquitoes. Now he's all suffering, right? Now what to do? He get to bury his pond. Guess how much it costs? $15,000. So he spent $30,000 just to make his backyard look exactly the same it was first from beginning, right? So we are like this. That's why God tells us to have wisdom, right? So why some people go to trial and tribulation more? First, right? Of our sin. And second, maybe because of our righteousness. We want to do what is right. Then third, a lot of time we bring it upon ourselves, right? That's why the Bible tells us, live a simple life. We'll live a simple life. Just like now, right? Because my nieces and my nephew and my wife, they're putting the house together, right? And I love to listen to music, right? And I have these two huge speakers. It's like 110 pound each speakers, right? And every time my nephew play in my living room, I'm always so nervous. Why? Because my nephew play with his sword, this and that, right? All he needs to do is get his sword into my speaker, right? And that speaker would be gone. So if I didn't get the speaker, I don't need to worry about it. So So think about things like that, right? So live a simple life, right? Don't buy big speakers, right? Don't buy a fancy car, really. If you buy a fancy car, everywhere you go, you'll worry about, right? I have so many stories from brothers. Well, I'll tell you one quick more story, right? So this brother, he bought a BMW, right? One of the SUV, right? I think an X5, whatever it is, right? I don't know what it is. So what happened? He bought it. So he went to the mall, right? And he's saying, oh, man, I cannot park close to the people, right? Because every time you park close to people, open the door and hit it, make a dent, right? And then he would look at his car, would feel sad, right? They say, oh, I got to park away from the people, right? So he parked away, and then he realized, oh, man, the parking lot, because it's California, right? And the sun just beaming in his car, and he have leather inside. So the leather would be all ruined, right? And then he say, what can he do? And then he say, oh, let me park underneath a tree. Then he park underneath the tree, all the sap from the tree and the birds do all over his car, right? So now, every time he go to the mall, he has no place to park, you understand? Right? And he's so worried about that. And then finally, he sold back the BMW. Really? So don't bring so much stuff upon ourselves, right? To make us suffer. Okay? Any question, any thought? Yes, live a simple life. Live a simple life. That's why when you one day you get married, right? Don't marry such a beautiful sister, a beautiful, handsome brother. But you suffer a lot. Every time they go out, man, is someone going to ask them for the number again? Someone going to go after them? I'm just kidding. Marry as beautiful a woman, handsome brothers you can, right? As long as they have a good heart, right? You don't need to worry about it, right? Right? Yes, right. Okay, next one. This is, how do you know to what extent you should depend on God, right? How would you answer this question? Give me a name, please. Jeremy. How would you know? Yes, that's the answer. Rely on God for everything. Just God, just our Father, right? Of course, we must do our best first, right? You don't stay home and eat ice cream all day and then you want to look for a job, rely on Him, everything. No. You must do your best. But when we give our all, and then we leave everything up to God, right? Just like right now, my wife, she does not have a job. Right now, we figure if she go without 2 months having a job, we'd be in big trouble, right? Because we have only enough money right now to pay for a mortgage 2 months, right? And eating and stuff for 2 months. So right now, she's doing her best to apply for a job and stuff like that. But God sent us to Dallas, so He must bless us with a job, right? But at the same time, He make us feel a little nervous, right? You know, if she doesn't get a job, we're going to be in big trouble, right? But that's okay, right? That's okay. Yeah. So depend on Him for everything, right? On everything, right? Really. Even sometimes, even eating, right? Sometimes you feel, Lord, I don't really know what to eat, right? I really, please, though, tell me what really I can eat that. Most of the time, when I eat a certain food, right, you just get to the point you cannot be satisfied anymore. But eating is a blessing from God, right? So sometimes I just pray to God, you know, really give me something that's very simple to eat to satisfy me. And He does, right? Just like that fish soup that I had the other night. That fish soup, right? All week we have no fish, only for that day, right? And that day I really feel like I wanted fish, and God blessed me with that fish. Things like that, it's really, it seems though it's very small, but God loves to do small things like that for us. Really. Because why? Because He wants to have relationship with us. With everything, He wants to, you know, guide us and take care of us and be involved, right? Just like right now, my wife, she's doing the kitchen over and she buying this, buying that. I want to be involved, right? I say, hey, why don't you text me, you know, that you got this, right? Why you don't tell me the vent guy is coming tomorrow, right? I want to be involved, right? When you don't see your wife 6-7 months out of the year, and when you go home, sometimes she looks like a different person, you understand? 7 months, sometimes, you know, after a while, her hair, right? Sometimes I go like a month later, and her hair just get longer and longer, right? Then when I see her, she seems like a stranger sometimes. You understand? I just go there, it's like a hotel. I go there and sleep. And then 1 week later, I leave, and then I come back, right? So that's why I try to keep in touch with her as much as possible, right? So rely on everything. Be involved. Ask God to be involved in everything you do, okay? And then the next question. Is taking someone off life support counted as killing someone? So this is my testimony, right? So my family, I have decided to take life support, right, from my father, right? Is it killing someone if you've taken them off life support? Give me a name, please. Emily. It's Emily. Oh, sorry. So, why do you say no? Yes. That's a very important answer, right? Because what happened, of course, you know euthanasia, right? Is it right or wrong, euthanasia? Huh? Yeah, you help them to die. Because they are suffering so much, right? So you want to give them something so they can die quickly, right? Is that wrong or right? Right or wrong? Yeah, that one is wrong. You guys understand, right? That one is wrong. Why? Because you're assisting them to die. But when they're on life support, right, this is something else to help them survive. And help them to survive, actually, quite often they suffer and suffer a lot. So why don't allow them to die naturally? Because life and death in the hand of God, right? So if God wants them to live, God will let them live. So in other words, when someone's on life support, I told my wife already, when I'm in the hospital dying stuff, don't put me on life support. Because that thing, actually, it's a lot of suffering, right? You know, when my dad was in a coma, and then the doctor, every time they come in, like, you know, a dozen times a day, when they come in, they always kick us out, right? They always kick us out. And I'm like, why do they always kick us out when they come in, right? Then one day I was, you know, half asleep next to my dad. And then, of course, they thought I was sleeping, but I was still awake. So then when they clean him up, oh, man. Because they put a long hose into my dad's mouth, right, and stomach, and then they clean it, right? Because he had all the mucus and stuff like that in there. And then my dad was like this, was like that, right? And he was suffering, tears come in his eyes. So that is a lot of suffering for them, right? Even though, you know, they cannot... You know, they cannot hear us and stuff like that, but I still a lot of suffering. So that's why to let them die naturally is nothing wrong with that, right? But it's up to the family, right? You guys, family, have made decision what you want to do, right? Because some people leave their family on life support for years, right? But, you know, even the doctors, because the longer my dad's in hospital, the more money they make, right? But my dad, over 95% of his brain is all dead already. Even if he's awake, there's no way he can function, right? But actually, the doctor said there's no way. That's why we gave him like 7 days, right? Then when we took off the life support, and then within even 24 hours, he passed away, right? Yeah. Okay, so it's nothing wrong to take people off life support because life and death is not in the life support, but in God's hand. If God wanted him to live, he will live naturally. But euthanasia is wrong. Why? Because you assist someone to kill them quickly because of suffering. No. Not like that. Okay? Any question, any thought? Okay. Next one. Is it okay to borrow an address for school, right? Actually, this is talking about lying. Right. In other words, if you want to go to a certain district, I think this is the question, right? If you want to go to a certain school, a certain district, and you say you live over there someplace, right? Or your uncle, your auntie, your brother, sister, is it right or wrong? Is it right and wrong? Right or wrong? Wrong is wrong. This means we are lying, right? Actually, quite often, this is part of suffering too, right? Really. Sometimes being a Christian, you have to be honest with everything, right? And sometimes being honest actually is suffering for us. That's right. So in our word, maybe many people, right, they lie. Okay, the family live over there so they can go to a good school district, right? But for us, we cannot do that. Why? Because that is lying. Right? That is lying. But I notice a lot of our church members do that, right? Do. And the same thing, we have a membership to the gym, right? Right? And then you give someone, oh, you know, take my card, you can go to the gym. No, you can't do that. Because you pay for yourself, not for that other person, right? Unless the GM had a policy, yes, if you know, if you're not using it, someone else can use it, right? So that's fine. Right, that's fine. But using false address, if you don't live there, right, if you don't live there, this means you cannot use the address that you live there and go to a better school district, right? Okay? Any other thought, any other question? Anybody understand that one? And I hope that, you know, whoever asked this question, if your parents are doing this, we can tell them, right? Because God will bless us more. The main thing is being a Christian that always follow God's commandment. And God will bless us. Even if we go to school, it's more inferior to the other school. But on the end, God will bless us. Well, when my niece, the one in Boston, when she got into college, right? And that year, and I think it's like 40 or 50,000 people, right, apply. They only accept like 2,000, whatever, right? When I look at her grades and her SATs, compared all to all the other ones that got accepted, really, much more inferior, right? Really. And then she didn't really play any sports and stuff like that, right? But God allowed her to get in that school because of God, not because of what she has, really. The same thing, right? She applied for her one-year master program, right? It's really a great blessing that she got in, right? Why? Because not because she did so well undergrad, because God was with her. Right? Because the last 4 years, she put God first in her lives. These are all true testimony, right? I'm sure you can talk to many older brothers and sisters. The same thing. So in other words, this is kind of life we must live. You and I as Christian. Yes, even though the world, right, they lie, they cheat, they deceive, and they go to places. It seems like that. But on the end, right, just nothing but sinners. But for us, it should be very different, right? Of course. That's why, you know, when Sam shared earlier, right, when you buy something and you get money, right, and you must count, right? For me, every time I get money back, and I always look at the receipt and count. Why? Because so many times they make mistake in a sense that maybe they charge me less than what it is. And then I have to, it's so much bothersome, I have to drive there, right, and tell them, I'm sorry, you didn't charge me for this item, right? Things like that, right? And so that's why I always check my receipt, right? Because it happened many times, right? So that's why, because for us, we can be happy, right? Oh, she didn't charge me for this. So because of this, we are happy. No. If they didn't charge us for it and we have it, this means we are stealing for them. But you must ask them, oh, you didn't charge me for this. If they say, oh, we charged you for it already, oh, that's fine, okay, right? But you must make sure, right? I remember one time I went on vacation, for NYTS, right? During that time, for 2 weeks, I took on vacation. So when I came back to my work, they never took 2 weeks off my vacation, right? Then should I feel really happy? No, I feel so annoyed that I'm like, oh, now I got to go to human resource and talk to them, right? So I went over there, right? And I say, you know, last week I took 2 weeks off, right? So, but you didn't take, you know, whatever, how many hours, 80 hours off, right, of my work. So the human resource look at it and it's like, oh, Vudi, don't worry about it, right? The 2 weeks we didn't take it off, just, you know, don't worry about it. Like, and I want to make sure again. See, look, 2 weeks you did not take it off, right? See, Vudi, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. And I say, that's for me, it's God's blessing, you understand? Because I'm already 2-3 times, I tell them already, they should take this 80 hours off. But for some reason, she didn't. She didn't want to. That is very strange and very weird, right? Just like one time the guys come to fix my roof, right? In the morning, I call him. He said, $1,500. In the morning, right before he came, $1,500. So when he came to my house, he said, oh, I want to charge you only $1,200, right? I said, this morning, you told me $1,500, and you quoted me the price. Here's a receipt. You gave me $1,500. And I said, oh, I don't know why. I just want to charge you $1,200. You ever hear a contractor say such things? No. Yeah. More money, always more money. Then I realized, even though I told him, you you said 1500, right? Because if we think, oh, 1200, this means he make mistake, so it's more benefit for me, right? Then that's not good, right? Because we already agree already, right? So, but the thing is, you keep saying to him, you say, no, I just want to charge you 1200. Then you just say, okay, you don't want to argue anymore, right? That's it, right? Right. So things like that in our life is like this, right? Okay. When you buy stuff, really, when they undercharge you or overcharge you, either way, right, you must go and, you know, and try to, try to fix it, right? So make things right. But every time you go and fix it, they think you're like crazy, right? The last time I was in Safeway, and for some reason they didn't charge me, I think, a box of firewood or something like that, right? Because I put it underneath, right? So I think it's like $34, right? So I went home, like, oh man, look at the receipt, they didn't charge me firewood. So I went over there. I said, oh, I came here yesterday, and you didn't charge me for a box of firewood. They're like, yeah. I like, oh, you didn't charge me, so I want to pay for it. They just look at me very strange, right? Really, they look at you rich, and they're like, okay. And then they just charge it, right? Because for them, it's like, why are you coming here to do that, right? It doesn't make sense to them. But for us, it doesn't matter. God knows everything, right? Okay, God knows. $34 is not, that's not worth lying, right? Yes? Yes. Okay, so what happened? You offer the money to church. Is that right or wrong? It's wrong. Why? Is it your money to offer? No. That's why it's wrong. Okay? So yeah, the same thing. Some people say, oh, if I find $100 outside, right, I should take it and put it in the offering box. Is that right or wrong? No. Who should you bring it to if you're going to take it? Lost and found, a police officer, right? Or to the police, something like that, right? That's the right way to do it. You don't take it and say, oh, let me give this stolen money to God. You understand? That money is not yours, right? So you don't have the right to offer that to God, okay? But that's a good question, yes. Yeah, if you're gonna pick it up, you give it to police officer, right? If you not, just leave it there, right? There's a testimony about a sister in Miami, right? So the time God was teaching the Ten Commandments. So the time she went to the mall, and it's like a dollar bill or something on the ground, right? So he's like, oh, dollar bill, good, right? She wanted to go and pick it up, right? So the minute she goes, then she tried to lean over to pick it up, and she was frozen. She couldn't move. Then she thought it was very weird, so she walked back, then she wanted to try it again, right? Right? And, then she tried to pick it up, and then she froze again, right? Then she's like, oh, it seems very strange. So what happened? She went home, and then her son, right? Her son was reading the children Bible, right? Yeah, what's his name? Jasper. Yeah, Jasper, right? Jasper. He came last year, right? To ICS. So then he read that you should not take things that not belong to you. And that money does not belong to her. If we live this kind of life, anyone who lose anything, they will go and they will find it, right? I remember one time I lost my wallet at the movie theaters. I went back there 3 minutes later, and the thing was gone already. It's gone already. Why? Because people, lose or find or whatever they say. Find is keeper, right? Losers weep or whatever it is, right? That's the world we live in today, right? But it shouldn't be like this. You know why? Because God taught me from the very beginning. One time I took my dog to the park, right? My dog that I put to sleep a couple months ago, my sad dog, right? So I took her to the park and I walked on her, and then I saw a pen, and a pen on the ground, and this pen looked exactly like my pen. So, I must have dropped it or something like that, right? So I picked it up, then I brought it home. Then on my desk, I say, that's not my pen, because my pen is on my desk. Then I say, this pen was like 99 cents, right? What's the big deal, right? So I left it on the desk. For 3 days, I couldn't sleep. Because in my mind, it's all say, Woody, you got to bring it back. You're stealing that pen. Like, come on. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, how can that be, right? So for 3 days, I'm struggling with it. It's like this 99 cents pen, who cares? Then on the third day, finally, I'm stopped being stubborn, right? So I bought the pen back. I put exactly where I found it. I'm telling you, the minute I put it, I feel so released. Why is that? It's so strange. Because God wants us to be perfect, right? And everything. Do you have a question? So in our world, actually, God wants us to be perfect, right? That's why it's very important. Everything we do is like this. Even though no one knows. No one knows. But God knows everything. God knows everything. So that's why we want to be perfect. You heard testimony, right? A sister on an airplane, right? She took extra napkins when she went to the bathroom, whatever, right? Then in her vision, in her dream, God said, you're a thief. You stole a thing, right? Because that napkin, tissue, whatever, you only use for yourself during the time you're using. You don't go and put plenty of things in your pocket, right? That is stealing. It does not belong to you, right? So at your house, if you have like Hilton towels and stuff like that, you got to bring it back. You understand? Every time we go on a vacation, we have so many utensils, right? You order room service stuff, right? I say Hilton on it, a Hyatt on it, and stuff like that, right? Really, we must take it back. They're stealing. Right? Stealing. Especially a nice bathrobe, too, right? Because I like to wear a bathrobe, right? So every time I go to a hotel, sometimes they have really nice bathrobe, right? I'm like, man, this. See, I'm just thinking, you know, people must take this thing, right? They just take it home. Who knows, right? But for us, we can't take, we are Christian. We cannot do the kind. So that's stealing, right? It does not belong to you, okay? So many little things like this, it will make a big difference in our spiritual life. Really, it makes a big difference. Because God will know exactly what a heart is like, right? Because a little yeast, when we think we can do little things, then sooner or later, we think we can do big things, right? Do you know anybody in your school, they are thief, they like to steal things? You guys know? Yeah. Is she your best friend or what? No, just kidding. Oh, he's a guy, okay. Yeah. Do you ever talk to him? In the beginning, when he started to steal, he steal big things? Yeah, exactly. That's a great example. In the beginning, he just steal gum, right? From a gas station. Then what did he steal now?
Oh.
Peer pressure. You want to steal gum with me? It's always start like that, right? Always stealing gum. Kids always like that, right? And yeah, I used to steal too when I was younger, but I was not a good thief, right? So one time I went to Sears, right? And I loved this motorcycle. I don't know if you guys remember. The motorcycle, you put a little plastic thing in behind it, and you pull it, and it goes. Sam, you remember those? Sam remembers, see? Now you guys now your toy is so fancy, right? So I loved that toy because I had no money to buy it, right? I was thinking, oh, man, I need to steal it. I like it so much. Of course, this is way before Christ. I was young, right? So stupid me, I have a hat on, then I need a hat, right? And the thing stick out like that. I'm walking out, right? Oh, yeah, I'm not a good thief, right? I thought no one can see, you know? Of course, I got in big trouble. I didn't speak any English back then either, you know? I was like, and they would threaten me, you know? And I didn't understand what they're saying, but their faces looked so mean, right? Thank God, I was just crying, so that's why they let me go, right? Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, don't steal anything. Don't steal anything. You guys, really, you guys have, you know, nowadays, really, almost anything that you want, you can get, right? Why steal? But I know some sister who steals. Not because she don't have the money to buy it, but she loves to steal, right? That high, give you a high, right? And you steal something. Anyone you know that, right? Give you a high? Good, this means you guys don't think about stealing and stuff, right? No, some people, really, right? They love that high, just like gambling, too, right? Do you think a person who's gambling, do they want to win? No, they don't. No, they don't want to win. It's just a high, up and down, up and down. Can you tell me a gambler who always make profits and come home? No. If you are addicted to gambling, you stay there, you lose all your money. Even though you win, because my adopted father, he was a gambler, right? Sometimes he wins $100,000, $200,000 at a casino. Everyone else would think, well, let's take it and go home, right? Nope. He sit there, right, and there's no money left. It's the high, right? So stealing, not because you need it, because it gives you that high, right? The same thing with everything in life, too, right? Okay, next one. No, we have 5 minutes. Next one. Why was it favoritism when Jesus only brought a few of his disciples with him to Gethsemane? First, let me ask you a question, right? Is it right or wrong to have favoritism? Wrong. Wrong. Guys? Huh? Wrong. Yes, it depends. You understand? If that's the case, Jesus has favoritism, right? So he doesn't know what he's doing. He must be wrong. No. Right? He's what? He always brings John and James, right, and Peter to a special occasion, right? Hey, that is three disciples. How many beloved disciples in the Bible? How many? Only one, right? Beloved disciple. Only one called beloved disciple. Why not the rest of the 11? Why not Judas? You understand? Favoritism. Actually, the Bible in the book of James, when you talk about favoritism, why that favoritism is not good? Why? Why? Huh? I'm sorry? Why the favoritism in the book of James is not good? Yes, exactly, brother. Because of appearance. So in other words, if a brother or sister walk because, you know, he's not too nice, right? And then you and Asher are like, hey, you sit in the corner over there, right? Then some bra coming with a suit, all fancy, Armani suit and stuff. Hey, brother, you go sit all in front there, right? And his friend Pew right here, right? That is not a good favoritism, right? You think God also has favoritism? Right? I love who and I hate who? That's favoritism, you understand? Right? But favoritism in what? In relationship. For example, I have three nieces, right? I have my favorite niece. But I love them three the same. Right? Because why do I have my favorite niece? Why? Because that niece is, you know, her heart is more like me, right? And the way she is more like me. It doesn't mean I love the other two nieces less. The same. But we always have favoritism, right? In that sense. That for me, that favoritism, just like, you know, Jesus, right? And just like God also have his favoritism. Of all the people in the world, right? Especially in the Old Testament, right? Who is favorite people? Israel, right? Israel, my love, right? Israel, like an apple of my eye. Does he say that about Moab? Egypt? No, of course not, right? Why? Because the same thing for you and I. If we want to have favor with God, what must we do? What must we do? Follow his commandments, right? And do according to his will. But, and then, if you commit sin against God and stuff like that, they think, oh, you are my favorite. You are my favorite because you disobey everything that I say to you, right? Because you commit all the sin that I tell you not to, you are my favorite. Of course not, right? So the same thing with my nieces really is like this, right? Because the one is my favorite. She's so obedient, right? Every time I tell her to do something, ask her to do something, she always be able to do it. But the other one, maybe it's only one, but the other one is good too, right? But the other one, you tell her, oh man. You tell her to like clean the kitchen, right? She goes there, that's it. And then I go over there. Do you clean the kitchen? Yes. The kitchen is still a mess. She's like, I clean it. I use a rag and wipe it a couple of times. Like, yeah. Yeah, that's why she's not my favorite. You understand? But not our appearance, right? Okay, not our appearance. What about Jacob, right? Who was his favorite? Joseph. Is it right or wrong? Was it right or wrong, his favoritism? Was it right or wrong, brother? Huh? It's right. What was the reason why Joseph was his favorite? Why? Huh? Huh? Did the Bible say Joseph is so obedient to his father? Right? What did the Bible say why he loved Joseph more than others and gave him this fancy, you know, kind of pimped out coat, right? Why? What did the Bible say? It says right there. Why you guys, Pastor Hoban, studying with you guys for so long already, right? A whole week already of Joseph. Why? 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 We have like a minute left. Why? Why? Can someone read it? Yes, sister. Yes. Is that a good reason? Because you're old, you have this son, then he's your favorite? Is that a good reason? For me, that's not a good reason, you understand? Because you're old, you have this last son, right? Last one is, that one is last, right? But it's old age, it's not reasonable. Not because Joseph, everybody thinks Joseph is such a nice little boy. For me, no. He's not, right? He rats and telltale on his brothers, right? Actually, the Bible never says his brother did evil, you understand? So Joseph will come, right? Of course, maybe they do something wrong and stuff like that. But don't be a rat, really, it's like this, right? Why? And then what? And the reason why his brother hated him, because the father, right, favored, right, first. And second, because of his coat, right, he gave him his coat. But everywhere Joseph go, you think, especially when he knows that his brother doesn't like him because of the coat, right? But you think he take it off and he goes see his brothers? Huh? No, I'm sure he put it on and he walking out like this to his brother, right, with his coat. I'm telling you, right? Why? Because remember they sold him, right? His coat was with him, you understand? So now we're actually Joseph, that's why. Don't think, oh, Joseph just like Job. He went through all this trial and tribulation because he was so good. No. Because God wanted to refine him as a person, right? God wanted him to be able to love his brother unconditionally. Right? Okay? So that's another way to look at it. And then when he had the dreams, right? The first dream he told his brother, they hate him even. He had the second dream. They say, oh, my brother's all wounded, right? Because I tell them this dream, so they hate me for it. And then this dream I shouldn't tell them. Did he tell them? Yes, he's just putting salt in their wound, right? He even tell me, hey, I have a second dream. You guys didn't like the first one, here's the second one, right? You understand? But that's not a good way to do that, right? In relationship with your brethren, right? With your siblings, right? Because you must keep it to yourself already. This is between you and God, right? So in other words, he should not tell them the second dreams. Especially someone is bound down to them, right? This and to him, and he's the youngest one right, back then, right? It shouldn't be like that, right? So that's why for us, when we think about actually Joseph, also need to be refined, okay? Praise and thank God. We finished all our questions, and hopefully Sam and Pastor Ho also will be able to get the other question going. So, okay, let's kneel down and pray together and give thanks to God for this morning classes. Let's pray together.